disease was something we always feared, and we had to deal with West Nile, and West Nile's still around, and we had to get the general public used to the fact that mosquitoes are bad, and you don't want to, you know, go out at night without putting on some DEET and long sleeve shirts and maybe long pants. You know, mosquitoes are not our friends that way. But all of a sudden, in the news, we hear that Ebola's broken out in Africa, and we're thinking just what everybody else thinks. Well, it's going to end up in New York if it goes anywhere, or it'll end up in Los Angeles. And then all of a sudden we get hit with it in Dallas. Our reaction was, no, you're kidding. No, it's not in Texas. Tell me it's not in Texas. We went into denial. Diseases are rated according to their biosafety level. Biosafety level BSL-1 diseases, you can work in them in a laboratory and in street clothes. This is a BSL-4 agent, which means that when you're working on it, you have to work in a spacesuit. Which is why when somebody's in the hospital, they have to put on the Tyvek suits and the N95 respirators and have every square inch of their body covered, and then they have to go through a decontamination process when they come out of the room. They're horrible diseases, and Ebola's not the only one. Marburg is another disease which broke out in Africa, and they contained that a couple of months ago. But there are other diseases in South America, in Africa, and Asia that they're just lurking out there. And we still have H1N1. Luckily, that's in your annual flu shot, which you better get. Our nurses are over here, and they were going to kick me if I didn't say something about it. But we are a lot better now prepared, at least mentally, for something major like this to happen. We've had massive quantities of briefings and meetings and you know how we're going to handle this from a standpoint of supporting the hospitals. Our main problem has been getting enough personal protective equipment, but we have managed to get enough so that we had something locally happen. We figure that we can pretty much handle a case of just about anything for at least the few days that it takes maybe for the federal government to come in and assist us. On the emergency management level, we've identified everybody that's in charge would be in charge of the hierarchy from incident command on down to who does logistics, who does operations, who does planning, who does finance and administration. That's something that we hadn't really done from a disease perspective. We've done it for fires, we've done it for storms, that type of thing, but we really, really hadn't run through the disease perspective. Now, here's the question I want to ask you. How many of you have continuity of business plans, formal continuity of business plans? I know probably some of you have thought of it from a computer standpoint. Some of you probably have off-site servers that back up the servers that you rely on a day-to-day basis. Some of you may have other continuity of business plans that deal with natural disaster, fire, flood, tornado, that type of thing. But think about the disease continuity of business plan. And this is something we're having to deal with on a national level. What happened if only 25% of employees nationwide showed up for work? And when you've got a disease process that's going on, that's something that is very reasonable to expect. We saw that when SARS broke out in Canada. Virtually the streets were empty of police officers. Fire departments were scrambling. They had to consolidate crews in the fire departments just so that they can get a couple of engine companies together, cutting their response capability to about one-third of what it was normally. So does your continuity of business plan cover what happens when your employees are afraid of getting sick and don't show up at work? Do you have maybe a program where they can work from home? Do you have the possibility of offering them personal protective items, such as maybe surgical mask, N95 masks, that type of thing? Do you have a health and welfare plan for your employees so that you can have them cared for in a short period of time and hopefully they can return to work as quickly as possible? And I'm not saying they'd be sick, but unfortunately one of the things that happens is one of our problems is the worried well. People who are well and don't want to get sick, and then they shy away from everyone else. You can do things like plan for social distancing. Get people so that they're not in arm's length of the next person that they work with. you don't shake hands. You know, you explain that that you know right now we're going to have to possibly offend some people because we're not going to shake hands. I know in some places they bump elbows. That's, you know, I mean, there are other ways to do it, but a handshake is a lot of times something that spreads something that you don't want to have. So continuity of business, continuity of government is something we also talk about, but continuity of business is important to this nation because if people aren't delivering the bread, people aren't delivering the milk, people aren't delivering the things, the basic needs that we need on a day-to-day basis, we're going to see a crisis develop very quickly. In your own businesses, how many people can you afford not to have show up and your business still function at a normal level? And that's something that's not easy sometimes to figure out. You've got to be able to put your employees at ease so that they know that that you're watching out for their welfare as best you can medically. And if you need some assistance with that, the health department is there to help you. Dr. Wilkie will be speaking in just a few minutes. He can help. I can help. Our nursing staff at the health department can help you figure out what to do to try to create that business environment that will continue along if we do have something along the lines of bird flu pop up or something is going to always be out there that's just kind of lurking in the distance. So with that, I'll thank the chamber for inviting me to speak.